Hallelujah. We're living it. We're living the dream, people, aren't we?
Yeah.
Probably better said would be we're living God's heart.
Yeah.
The love that we have among us. Would you mind getting the light? Unless everybody can read, okay. Hallelujah. I'm going to share a message with you and believing, hallelujah, that it's come from God and will inspire us on to maturity in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Acts chapter 17, verse 24 says, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Right, and as far as, just a refresher here, we've been talking about the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit. And so here we're seeing that God lives in temples not made with hands. And we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're going to speak individually just for a moment of God's work on the individual, okay? We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so, if you want to glorify your body, if you want to take care of your temple, ask Chef Lisa to cook for you. Hallelujah. So here we have the work of God working on the individual. How many of you believe that God has been working on you personally for the last 5 years? I know it's been before that, but don't you believe that there's something specific that's been happening for the last 5 years here on Fisher's Island? He's been working on you as an individual. You are becoming more and more aware that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit lives in you. Amen? We've been learning about the name Holy Spirit. Holy, set apart by God for God. Amen? So, and that he is also the one who comes along our side to enable us. But here, the thing that really struck me for this week is consistent with our Saturday night Bible study. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 says, you yourselves are being built like living stones into a spiritual temple. Let me say that again. You yourselves are being built like living stones into a spiritual temple. Now we're looking at the corporate side of things. I honestly believe that God's adjusting our focus, that we have been very focused on ourselves. It's super important that we've been focused on ourselves and our cooperation with the work of the Holy Spirit in us, but it's for a purpose, and that is to be joined together into a spiritual temple. It's a corporate work that God is bringing our focus now into the corporate work. When I was studying more about the temple, and you can see here, this is a picture of the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, which is part of the wall of the temple. And look at those stones. Look at how tightly they fit together. They're different shapes and sizes. When I was reading about the temple in the Bible, the construction of the temple, that these stones were manufactured in the quarry because they didn't want the tools of the hammer and the chisel in the work site of the temple. They didn't want the sound of the hammer and the chisel. They didn't want any tools working in the temple. So they made each stone in the quarry, and then they brought the stone and fit it into the temple. So we're looking at God's work on the individual. How many feel like you've been hammered on and chiseled in the last 5 years? Have a few rough edges knocked off, did you? I know it's the truth for me, in my case, that yes, I have felt the chisel of the Holy Spirit knocking off some rough edges. Amen. He's honing, he's bringing me into a place of maturity in Christ. But hallelujah, if we adjust that, that in and of itself is enough, isn't it? That we're being chiseled and hammered into shape that we would be in the image of Christ. That's a wonderful motivation to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. But the idea that if you look at these different shapes, that now we're looking at the corporate view, it's that we would be placed into a bigger picture. I've been shaped as an individual to fit in something bigger than myself. And that is the temple, the big temple. Hallelujah. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2, 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now, it's important that we realize that there's a big picture too. That God is not only working on you as an individual, but he's working on the big picture too. All of it simultaneously. So not only is God adjusting us in our private places, but he's also bringing us together. Amen? Which is for a reason. That we would be a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. What type of dwelling place? Ephesians 2:21, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. What type of dwelling place is it? What type of temple is it? Holy temple. Deuteronomy 26:15. Look down from your holy habitation from heaven and bless your people Israel and the land which you have given us, just as you have sworn to our fathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. What kind of habitation? Holy habitation. And in Zechariah 2:13, be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he is aroused from his holy habitation. He is the Holy Spirit, and his habitation is a holy place. The requirements to be God's dwelling place, to be holy. I think it's important that we realize that in order to be God's dwelling place, we need to be holy. There's something different about us. We have been set apart by God for God. We are a holy habitation. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why would the Holy Spirit and God and Jesus require a holy habitation and not require it today? If he required it before, why would he not require it today? He's changed his dwelling place. He's changed his habitation. Amen? He's chosen to inhabit us. He's chosen to be with us and in us. That was his choice. Now it's our choice whether we want that or not. And we say, yes, we do want you to be with us and in us, Lord. And I recognize that in order for that to happen, then I need to provide a holy habitation for him. Amen? Now let's just briefly go over this. And this is not a long message today, but I believe it's a powerful one. In order to be truly holy, we need to be sprinkled by the blood of the blemish-free lamb. Amen. If you want to learn more about this, go back into the Old Testament, into Kings and Chronicles, and go back into Moses' day, when God was speaking to Moses and the people of the day and instructing them about purification, about sanctification. And there was always a sacrifice involved, and how they took the blood and sprinkled the instruments that were to be used in the temple and tabernacle. The sprinkling of the blood was for the sanctification. And we can use those words, sanctification and holiness. We can switch those back and forth. To be sanctified is to be set apart by God. To be holy is to be set apart by God. So, to realize that God needs a holy habitation. And so, in order for us to be holy, we need to be sprinkled by the blood. And when we read in Hebrews, go ahead and look at the Old Testament and the Old Law, and then read it together with Hebrews, because the writer of Hebrews really explains what was going on back then and how it was a foreshadow, that it was all looking forward to what Jesus would accomplish and what Jesus has accomplished. And it explains how it's like a lawyer presenting a case. If then the blood of bulls and goats was enough, then why would they continue to do it repeatedly every year? Evidently, it didn't accomplish the mission. And it also says that God was never pleased with the blood of bulls and goats. But the perfect sacrifice was what he was expecting. So in order for us to be truly holy, we must first be sprinkled by the blood of Jesus, in order that we would be sanctified and purified. How many want to be purified? How many have been in this world and lived according to the flesh? How many have ever felt guilt and shame? What do you do without the revelation of what Jesus has accomplished?
Amen.
It used to be miserable, didn't it? When you had guilt and shame, when you did something wrong, it was miserable. And you never got rid of it. You carried it, and it accumulated on your life like this heavy black backpack. And you just got heavier and heavier and heavier. But it was only when God gave us the revelation that the blood of Jesus was enough. The blood of Jesus was what truly sets the captive free. It's when we have revelation that the blood of Jesus, the blemish-free lamb, is sprinkled on you, that you can be cleansed and free. It doesn't cover it up. It doesn't mask it up. It's not only for a year, but you are truly set free when you've been sprinkled by the blood of Jesus. And obviously, he's not going around today in the physical manner of sprinkling us. So this is a by faith thing. We step into this by faith, believing that Jesus is the one who died for our sins. He was the one who hung on the cross in our place, that we might be positionally in right standing with God in Christ. So our position with God is in right standing. We are righteous in God's eyes. We are sanctified. We are holy. We've been set apart. Amen? We are justified in Christ. But our current condition is what? A work in progress. Amen? There's another good t-shirt. We are a work in progress. And thankfully, the blood of Jesus covers both. He covers both the initial sanctification, and he also covers, and this is the significance of 1 John 1:9, that when you confess that you've blown it, now you've been born again, you've been sanctified by the blood of the Lamb, and you make a mistake. You've fallen down, you've chosen to do wrong, you've come into agreement with sin, and there's a manifestation of it. Confess it. Agree with God. I've blown it. And now the significance of this, the rest of the scripture, is that he is faithful and he will forgive you and cleanse you. You can be holy. Just because you're not conditionally perfect yet doesn't mean you can't still be holy, because the blood is what made it possible for us to be holy, both positionally and conditionally. Amen? That's why it's important. It's also important to realize that we need the Paraclete, the one who comes alongside us and enables us to make good choices and to choose to do right. We choose to do right and we start pushing on it to try to do right. And the Holy Spirit comes along our side and enables us to do right. So you're not going back all the time saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry all the time. We're growing. We're getting enabled to walk in maturity, in the maturity of Christ. Hallelujah. So as I mentioned, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that God required a holy place to live. Go back and read what they had to do for God's symbol, God's presence to be manifest in the tabernacle and in the temple. There was a lot of work. It was very specific. God was very specific about how all these things were to be purified and made holy, because it's important to him. His habitation, it's important to him where he lives. Isn't that an interesting quality about God to think about for a minute? That it's important to him, the conditions of his house. He wants it to be clean. He wants a nice place to live. Amen? He's not willing to live in the corruption, in the sewage, you know what I mean, of the corruption of this world. He is holy. Now, in conclusion of this page, the conclusion of this thought is, let's face it, we provide a nice environment for our friends when they come stay with us, don't we? If you're going to have your family come, if you're going to have people come stay with you, what do? Vacuum, tidy up, rearrange things, make it special. You might put a little thing in their bedroom, a little bouquet. You want, because we have this idea of making it nice for, amen? How much more should we be concerned with God's habitation? Do you ever consider when you wake up in the morning that you are the habitation of God and that you want to make special arrangements about yourself that would be pleasing to him? You are a hostess. You are a host. You are hosting the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to come in and to be with you. What little arrangements will you make to make him smile, to make him pleased? Don't we all enjoy it when we have company and they recognize something special that we've done to make it nice for them? How much more for the King of Kings? What pleases God? And will you make any adjustments to make sure that God is going to have a special day with you today? Because you've arranged the furniture just so. You've arranged your emotions. You've arranged your mindset, your attitude. You've arranged it so that it's a pleasant place for God to be. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, bearing in mind, this is all speaking on an individual level. I am a living stone. I'm the habitation of God. And now consider the habitation of God in a corporate setting. It's difficult enough for God to come and inhabit me, because, you know, I've got to arrange all the furniture to make it nice for him. But now, what happens when you start adding different people in the mix? When you start to turn it into a corporate setting? Have you ever noticed that you might be able to have peace? You're at home, you're doing some meditation, you're reading the scriptures, you're listening to worship, and then you go out. And there's all these other wills. Some people aren't polite. Some people aren't considerate. Some people aren't filled with the Holy Spirit. And then now you're challenged with having still this peace and still having the joy because all these other wills and all this other stuff's going on. So think about God and the challenge before God. How many believe that God has a challenge in bringing you to maturity? Yes. Huh? How many believe that at times God might want to bang his head against the wailing wall? Just for you as an individual. I know he probably does for me. It's probably not worded right. I know he probably does. Anyway, now consider how exponentially more difficult it is to be a pleasing habitation for him in a corporate setting. What a challenge that he has set himself up to overcome. How do we do it? Let's face it, remember the word was fitted together. Fitted together. We are being fitted together. I believe it with all my heart. It's what the scripture was saying when Peter was writing it. It was when Paul was writing it. But we are being fitted together. How many have found that to be a challenge? How many have found it to be a difficult thing to be fitted together? Because let's face it, we are bought with a price. We are a living stone. And it is up to the builder who will choose the stone from the quarry and place it in the place that it goes in the temple. How many stones are going, I don't want it. I don't like that stone that's next to me. I don't like the way that that feels. I don't like to be in the confinement of being fitted together and joined together. I'd much rather be an independent living stone in the quarry, free to move and live and have my being. It can be uncomfortable to be fitted together, and yet that is the challenge that we are faced with today. We were faced with yesterday being shaped into a living stone. Now we're being challenged by being picked up by the Holy Spirit and fitted in among other living stones. How do you do that? Well, we read it last night. And I'm just really enjoying this scripture in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Now the end of all things is near. And remember how we were talking last night to be aware. When Peter was writing, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be serious and disciplined for prayer. Be sober-minded, it says in another interpretation. Be clear-headed in another interpretation, another translation. Clear-headed, sober, disciplined for prayer, that we will be playing a part. And isn't it interesting that one living stone, how many of you believe that your single prayer has an effect? Your single, you as an intercessor, if you were alone, that your position as intercessor would have an effect. But God has been talking a great deal about joining together, where two or three concerning a matter. A three-strand cord is not easily broken. There's a thing about bringing things together. So where, you know, one put 1,000 to flight, two, 10,000. There's an exponential benefit of being joined together. Yes, we are faced with a challenge of the outer man. How many of you believe I've been teaching about the outer man and making the outer man subject to the Spirit of God for the last 5 years for a purpose? It's because your outer man will not want to be fitted in. Your outer man wants to be free. Your outer man wants to do whatever it wants. It's enough of a struggle with your outer man to be in the confines or to be subject to the Spirit of God. And yet, from that point, to be fitted into. You saw the wailing wall. You saw the confinement. Narrow is the way that we're headed. Narrow is the way. Wide is the way for those who want to be free. They want to be free spirits. They want to be independent. And they want to be... There's no such thing as being independent in the body of Christ. Amen? We are being fit in. We are fitted. And there's an idea of fitting into a... They were very tight. There was hardly any crack between those stones. I mean, it's thousands of years old, and so there's some broken pieces. Pat could probably speak to this at length, and hopefully we'll all see it in person. But the stones were fitted in together. So the revelation that time is drawing to coming to an end. And we know there will be a completion of the temple. There will be a completion of the temple. And I'm speaking spiritually. There also will be a completion of the temple in the natural. But Therefore, be disciplined and be fitted together to have exponential effect on this earth in prayer. Won't that be great? And aren't we experiencing that now? We are joining together in our prayers, and it's having a great effect. Very exciting. And listen to this in verse 8. Above all. Above all. And as I mentioned last night, above clothing the naked, above feeding the hungry, above giving to the poor, above speaking in tongues, above prophesying, above all, it says, maintain, and this translation says, maintain an intense love for one another. This is the answer. This is the answer for those who are feeling like this is a little bit tight. I'm feeling a little bit rubbed raw here. This is difficult being in such a close quarters. Let's face it, we're all wired differently. It can be difficult to be in close quarters. But this is a priority. It's Jesus' prayer, Father, that they be one. Above all, maintain an intense love for one another. Last night, one of the translations said that your love be at full strength, right? Wasn't it full strength? Make sure that your love is at full strength. Hallelujah. All right, so here, love will close with 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. This is what it looks like. Love is patient. When you are in close confines as the body of Christ, as the temple made of living stones, you're patient. How many believe that there are things about me that requires you to be patient? I am not the complete manifestation of Christ. Amen? I have frailties. I'm flawed in areas. Believe me, I'm working on it. I'm trying to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to be like Jesus, but I'm not always like Jesus. Wife, can I get an amen? So, but believe me, the answer is love. Because when I'm offensive to Lisa and Lisa is offended, the natural tendency is separate. I need a wider crack. I need a gap. Give me some space. It's the natural reaction. But it's the opposite of what the Holy Spirit's doing. What's the Holy Spirit doing? He's bringing you tighter. He wants that joint in the seams. You've seen nice stonework, and the joints are so even and tight. That was the indication of a craftsman. There's no big gaps. And how many believe that the Holy Spirit is a craftsman? He's bringing us together tightly, fitted together. It requires patience in order to say, okay, I'm going to be close. How many believe love is kind? Nobody wants to be all surrounded by a bunch of jerks, right? Let's face it, we're going to be knit together. How many want to be knit together with a jerk? Be nice. How many want to be sidled up to somebody with a bad attitude? You know what I mean? No, come on. Husbands and wives, be kind to one another. Brothers and sisters, be kind to one another. Don't be jealous. Don't be a braggart. Isn't that fun to be next to a braggart? Well, you know what? You should have seen what I did yesterday and this and that. And it's tiring to be next to a braggart, isn't it? Or an arrogant person? Or a rude person? Or one that's seeking to its own advantage? I'm going to have the best spot in the temple. Here, you want to switch spots? I'm going to have a better spot in the temple. It isn't irritable. Love isn't irritable. How many wake up and you're irritable? You know what? That's pretty much, if caffeine affects me negatively in more than one area. It affects my body. I get headaches from caffeine after I drink it too much over an extended period of time. But it also makes me irritable. I'm quick. I'm short fused when I'm on caffeine because I'm stimulated. My heart's beating quicker. The blood pressure's up and everything, and so things make me more. So if I did drink caffeine, my tendency would be to be irritable. I have to tame that. I have to be like, careful here. Because there might be a manifestation that's not the heart of the Father. Love is not irritable. Love doesn't keep records. Oh, isn't that fun to be next to? I remember when this one, you're fit in. I mean, look at the stones in the temple. They're fit there for thousands of years. How do you want to be fit next to the guy who always remembers your wrongs? Unbelievable. It's like, I'm not listening. You get tired. Don't be one who remembers and keeps a record. Love isn't happy with injustice, but is happy with the truth. Love puts up with all things. Huh? Amen? Love trusts in all things, hopes for all things, and endures all things. This is what it looks like. This is the answer. To love one another is the answer for there to be a manifestation of God's will on the earth, which is for us, the body of Christ, brothers and sisters, to be fitted together, that we would jointly be His habitation, His holy habitation, His pleasant environment. It's bad enough for churches and individuals, brothers and sisters, to be bickering. Nobody wants to be a part of a church that's bickering. But think about it from God's perspective. God hates that. Scriptures clearly define it in Proverbs chapter 6. He hates that stuff. Can you imagine being in a habitation that you hate? People having sowing discord among each other and all that stuff. Imagine having to be in that environment that you hate it. Nobody, I'm not saying that we're anywhere close to this. But what I am saying is how important it is to get along. Because we're all going to be tempted. The more God is fitting us together, the more there will be a temptation to want elbow room, to give me some space. But to realize that love is the answer. Love is the answer. Jesus is love. Jesus was that lubricant that made everything work well between God and man. And that's the answer that will still work with us. It's still the thing that smooths, eliminates the friction. Love's going to be the answer. And so we will be challenged by this, but let's continue to remember the answer. Jesus is love. Amen. We need to love one another. And the motive being, it's to make a happy habitation for our God. We want Him to be happy, as I believe He is. When we are here together, when we're last night at Bible study, whenever this group of people gets together, it's a happy habitation. I'm so grateful for that. But you're never exempt from a temptation or a challenge. It's the world we're in. We are in a position where there will be attacks. And as long as we remember the how-to, which is love, be patient, be kind, be gentle, and don't do this other stuff. As long as we do that, we'll get through it. There's always light at the other end, and we're going to be more tightly fit. Mm-hmm. And there's a true benefit in our experience to be more tightly fit. And I believe that we can all say amen to this, that the experience of love is greater than it was a year ago. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's just a wonderful thing. There are benefits for us. It's not just for our God to have a pleasing habitation, but we get to be involved with that pleasing habitation. We get to enjoy the love and the life and the blessing of it all flowing between each other and to God, and it's just a wonderful family. So, holiness. Holiness is what we long for. Holiness is what we need. And the song said it, take my mind, because it wants to do things that are going to be counterproductive. Take my will and these things that are going to try to, if they come into agreement with things outside of the Holy Spirit, it causes problems. And so they need to be conformed. They need to be subject. Amen? And that's why we need to continue with the basics. Continue with the basics so that we will be built up strong and ready for this next step, 2016. Be prepared to love one another like we've never loved one another and experience it. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you so much for this chance to be together, Lord. And I'm looking forward to the manifestation of the Holy Spirit here as we share communion one with another, Lord. We remember what you've done. The perfect expression of love, laying down your life for us. And that after that, Lord, the expression of love by our praying for one another and praying for our sister who's headed into a mission. Hallelujah. She has a mission before her, and we want her to be thoroughly equipped as Judy goes to the hospital and maybe has surgery. Hallelujah. That she'll be thoroughly equipped and ready for it. So there will be an expression of love as we lay hands on her and anoint her with oil. Glory to God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.